Let's just stand for the word of God. Here's the scriptures of the living God. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Here it comes. You ready? Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You guys want to be successful wherever you go? Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do you guys hear that? Lord God Almighty, as we come before you this morning, good morning, Lord. Lord, why are we here? God, we come to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Lord, we come to declare that you're a good God. Lord, we come to learn. We come to seek your thoughts and your wisdom upon our lives because we need you. We need you more than ever before. So, Lord, as we gather in this place, we pray, Lord God, you would send your Holy Spirit upon us. God, help us to have eyes to see this morning and ears to hear what heaven would say to us. We just commit this time to you, and we praise you now, and we pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Amen. And good morning. Y'all may be seated. It's good to be with you. So, 2024. Are you used to that? Welcome to a brand new year. Welcome to a brand new year. People, God was awesome last year. God did amazing things last year. And God moved in the hearts of people last year. We had a good year as a church. And hey, man, I had a lot of fun last year. So last year about this time, we started a series last year. We called it The Road to Emmaus. And if you remember that text where it says that as people began understanding the word of God, it says on The Road to Emmaus that their hearts burned within them as Jesus was explaining what the Bible, the prophecies of Scripture and so forth. And in January, we began a series called The Road to Emmaus, and we walked you through the different genres of the Bible, like the law and the prophets and the wisdom literature and the Psalms, and we took you through the Gospels of the New Testament and just the different genres of Scripture that you guys would just kind of understand. The Bible is kind of confusing, amen? But if you break it apart, it's actually pretty amazing, and it has an incredible message. It has apocalyptic literature. We went through the book of Revelation. At least we encourage you to journey through that. And we did this series going through Easter, and then we celebrated Easter. And then after Easter, we opened up the book of Revelation. We walked through the seven churches of Revelation while our brother Mike did a whole class on the last days and apocalyptic teachings of not just the past, but the present, the future, what God's going to be doing. Over the summer, we had a blast teaching through 1 Thessalonians. And then in the fall, we did a series on relationships. And then as we cruised into Thanksgiving, we talked about the spiritual disciplines as we were preparing our hearts for Christmas. So last year, we went through hermeneutics and spiritual disciplines or spiritual formation. My professor at Talbot would be proud of me, Dr. Anthony, right? And Wilkins and all them. You guys, it was a good year for us just to grow in the Lord and understand the Lord. And we saw God just do amazing things in people's lives. We saw God heal people. We saw God break chains in people's lives and set people free. The Lord is totally here and totally amazing. Thank you all for your love and gifts. As we went through Christmas, I got so many cards and thank you, and just I feel the love, man. And hey, guys, I think as a church we're gonna pay all our bills last year and not be in the red. So thank you for that. That's pretty cool. That helped. You know, that's kind of nice to thank you for what you've been doing. So it's been cool. Let me share with you. Hey, man. So, Pastor Frank, what are we doing in 2024? Here's some things that we're going to be focusing on. We're going to continue to worship God. We're going to continue to help people in discipleship, and we're going to help people just growing in evangelism and serving the Lord. But one thing we're going to be focusing on this year is we're just going to really be intentional in mentorship of the older generations, mentoring the younger generations. We're going to be doing this as best as we can through many different activities and events. For example, one of these is we're going to be doing a lot of hiking this next year. So here's the truth. Men don't like sitting around and doing tea and testimony. Guys just aren't rigged that way. The ladies, it's amazing to watch the daughters of Eve, how they can sit in a room and sip tea and share their lives. You guys are better than we are. Us sons of Adam, we need to be doing something. And so we're going to be doing this, like, it's called Hiking with God, but our intention is to take, hey man, if that's something you want to do, come with us. But our intention is to bring the next generation of men and speak into their lives as the older generations just pour into them, hey, this is what I've learned as a man trying to meet Jesus, know Jesus, and follow Jesus. We're going to be really just focusing on just trying to speak into the next generation. Pastor Frank, I'm going to be starting a young marrieds group, trying to pour into the next generation of marriages. I'm also just putting hands on with our college career group and just trying to make that happen. It's mentorship. That's one of the goals that we're going to be doing next year, is just really trying to be intentional, is just to speak into the next generations of people. And so that's just something that we're kind of thinking about doing, and just as we cruise through this year, so that's what's going to happen. So I just thought you might want to know. For you this year, it's a brand new year. I so encourage you to get involved in small groups. We have something happening here at the church. We're going to be starting it next week. Well, where kind of how this unfolds is every Sunday morning we come, we hear a message, and then we meet in groups throughout the week, and we actually read through the scriptures that was discussed on Sunday, and we begin trying to stir it in. I use the analogy, it's like you have a cup of coffee, you put cream in it, it's not done till you stir it in. It's like you hear the word of God on a Sunday morning and you walk out of here, but you meet in a group throughout the week and you begin stirring in the message with a group of people, and you begin talking about, hey, you know, how was God speaking to you in that text? And it's really cool, because this, as we begin sharing our lives together, praying with one another, in the small groups is where church ministry happens, man, where we're sharpening each other, mentoring each other. So I encourage you to be a part of small groups. It's going to be happening starting up next week. Next Sunday, I'm going to begin a series called Gearing Up for Success in 2024. We're going to be going through an amazing teaching of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 called The Armor of God. Is anybody in here a prophet? Does anyone in here have any predictions of what next year is going to look like? Do you guys remember the last time we as a country went through a presidential election? Do you remember that? In 2020? Anyone? Was that fun? So sad. So I was talking with a person in our church. Pastor Frank, I was worried about coming out of 2022 into 2023 with the war in Ukraine and the things happening. And this person said, man, if that was a bad year, I'm more worried about this year. Not only do we have this war in Ukraine and the incredible suffering that's going on in Europe, but now a war has broken out in the Middle East and the incredible suffering that's happening in Israel right now. And then throw into that a presidential election. Pastor Frank, I don't know about you, but I'm worried about 2024. I don't think it's going to be a very good year. Are they right? Hey, I want to tell you something. This year is going to be a great year. Because God's going to be moving this year in the hearts of people. God is still on his throne. People, we can't predict the future, but we can prepare for it. We can't predict the future. There might be storms coming, and yeah, but we can be prepared for it, right? We're going to put on our armor of God this next year. I want you to take notes of me this morning, and there's in your worship bulletin, there's some notes you can take. I want you to write this down. I want you to meditate on this one. Take this first note with me. You ready? What this year will require of us is to be strong in the Lord. What this year of 2024, no matter what happens this year, what you need to do is be strong in the Lord this year. This is what this year is going to require of you. To not be afraid of the future, people, for we know the one who holds the future in his hands. Man, read Isaiah 40, where God is the God of, he put the stars in the sky and calls them all by name, the creator of the heavens and the earth. God, when he speaks on nations, he says they're like a drop in a bucket. Nations come and nations go. I'm talking about the Almighty God. Our job, what this year is going to require of you, is to get really close to Christ. Do I hear an amen? Hey, man, let's not be afraid of 2024, but let's be strong in the Lord as we enter into this year. So here's our verse. Here's our verse for this year. I was praying about this. Okay, so man, Lord, what do you want me to say to your people, Lord? Here it is, right? Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Can we say that together this morning? Here we go. You ready? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. People, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's a verse that I meditate on a lot. Joshua, it's taken out of Joshua. When you open the Bible and you begin to try to unpack this amazing book, early in the beginnings, right after the Torah, right after Moses, we read the book of Joshua. And Joshua is an amazing person in the pages of Scripture. His life story is amazing. If you begin to unpack who was Joshua, And what was God saying to him at this moment? People, Joshua, if I could bring Joshua up on stage and let you maybe interview him, he would tell you that he was born and raised a slave in Egypt. He was a Jewish man that was born and raised in slavery in Egypt. And he would tell you that one day the prince of Egypt, a guy named Moses, showed up and began speaking to the president of Egypt, the Pharaoh, saying, "The God of the Hebrews says, let my people go." And Joshua watched as God brought down amazing judgments upon the people of Egypt until they let God's people go. The plagues of Egypt. Joshua saw them all, and he was amazed that the God, his God, was actually fighting for him and trying to release him. Joshua would tell you that I was there when I saw the Red Sea split open and I walked across dry ground going from Egypt into the Sinai Peninsula. Joshua, if you could meet him, if you could know his life story, he would say that he witnessed all of this. And by the way, when Joshua got on the other side, he got as close to Moses as he possibly could get. He wanted to get as close to Moses as anybody. And after a while, he actually began to be mentored by Moses. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 28, this is what it says. Joshua, the son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since his youth. Think about that. Joshua became the aide of Moses. The aide of Moses. It was Joshua who, as Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments from God, the person that first saw the Ten Commandments outside of Moses was Joshua. He was halfway up that mountain. Joshua was the one who would see the tent of meeting of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, and he would see the demonstrations of God's power. As Moses and God was interacting, Joshua saw all of this. Joshua was the one that Moses put in charge of the Hebrew forces in their very first battle. As the Amalekites came and began attacking the Jewish people, the very first commander of the Jewish army was Joshua. And Moses went up and said, "Joshua, these people are attacking us. Get over there and grab the guys and start fighting, and I'm going to go pray." Joshua was the one that led the first Israeli army, by the way, with no training. And you read the text, when Moses prayed, they would prevail, and Moses' arms got tired, then the Amalekites would prevail, and pretty soon they're helping Moses pray, right? They're holding his hands up. That was Joshua. People, it was Joshua that went into the promised land with the reconnaissance mission, right? People that crossed in. It was Joshua and Caleb that came back and said, it's a beautiful land that God has given us. They were the ones giving a good report. And yet, as the people of God pulled away from God, it was Moses and, or it was Caleb and Joshua that God says, this whole generation that has forsaken me, I'm going to remove them, but I'm keeping these two. Listen to this verse, Numbers chapter 14, 27 through 30. Here's the Old Testament, right? How long will this wicked community grumble against me, God says. I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall, every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was continued in or counted in the census, and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you is going to enter the land I swore to uplift hands to make your home, right? Except Caleb and Joshua. I'm not giving the land to anybody. I've given you guys a good land. I'm going to bless you, my people. But this generation isn't going. But Joshua and Caleb is. And you know what's sad? Is for 40 years, that generation was in the wilderness and died off. Joshua was a part of that. And they did die off. And now Joshua's old. Now I want to read this because here's our text today. And I want to read this really slow. Because why is Joshua needing to be encouraged by God? Do you need to be encouraged by God today, people? Is any of you afraid of the future? Joshua, coming to Joshua chapter 1, he's afraid. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Here's the scriptures this morning. Check this out. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, he's dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan. Go into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Your territory will extend from the deserts to Lebanon. From the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Now, people, listen to this. God speaking to Joshua. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Can you imagine God saying that to a person? Nobody will stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong, God says, and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the Torah, the law, right, on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Anyone? Have I not commanded you? This is God saying this. It's now the third time he's saying it. Be strong and courageous. Three times he's telling them, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why does he tell him this three times? Because he was scared. Note number two. You want to take notes? Write this one down. God told Joshua to be strong and courageous three times because he was afraid. Of what? People of the future. He was afraid of what awaits. He's seen the past. He understands the past. He's in the present. God's asking him to step into the future. And Joshua is a little timid on this. He's afraid. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of what tomorrow might bring? Are you afraid of what this year might bring? What's he afraid of? We were talking about this. So every week the pastors get together and we talk about, you know, hey, this is the message that's going to be given. And we began talking about, like, so what changed? I mean, people, is Joshua a coward, anyone? He's not. He led armies. He was the one giving the good report. God's bigger. There's giants in the land. God's bigger than these giants. Joshua's not a coward. Why is he afraid now? What changed? Do you know what changed? Moses is gone. Joshua sees himself as kind of alone. Do you feel like you're alone sometimes? Joshua's going, hey, you know what, Lord? I was always number two, man. Moses is gone. I can't do this. I was always following Moses. Moses isn't around anymore. And God says, yeah, but you're my man. Let's go. Sometimes fear can be rational and sometimes fear can be irrational, right? Do you guys remember in 2020 when COVID hit, what were we most afraid of not having? Toilet paper. Right? You guys remember that? But isn't that pathetic what our society, we're hoarding toilet paper. Was that irrational answer? Yes. There are fears that are irrational and there are fears that are rational. Joshua is about ready to enter into war. Anybody would be afraid of war. Do I hear an amen? And this is close combat that he's going to be dealing with. Hey man, war will scare anyone. Joshua's fears are rational. And yet God's telling him, hey, you know what? Yeah, Moses, the man of God, is gone. But when a person of God dies, does God die? When a person of God dies, does God die? Joshua, what made Moses a man of God is me, says God. And Moses is God, but I'm still here, Caleb. Write this note down. Take this note. When a person of God dies, nothing of God dies. What makes a person of God a person of God? God does. But the cool thing is, people, is that God is always here. And I completely get this. Can I share? You know, there are times when I got to meet Billy Graham. The most amazing evangelist in the history of Christendom. I remember looking at a picture of him preaching to a million people in one setting when I was at the Cove in South Carolina. And I'm sitting there going, who gets to preach to a million people in one setting in Seoul, South Korea? This amazing picture. I'm looking at this guy. I love listening to his sermons. And I don't know. Maybe I look at the good old days. Wow, that was amazing. Hey, you know what? Yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. 2023 is gone. Chuck Smith, you remember the Jesus Revolution, the movie that came out last year? What a great, I love watching that, right? It's really cool. Hey man, Pastor Chuck was a great man. And he's gone. But you know what? God's still here. Isn't that the message? Hey Caleb, I know Moses is gone. But you're my man, and I'm still here. I'm the one that made Moses amazing, and I'm about the one to make you amazing. Because I'm God. Does this make sense? This is the point. As I was with him, I'm going to be with you. So be strong and courageous, and let's go. Okay, so here, what is courage? We're talking about this. Right, take notes of me this. Here's note number four. Ready? Courage is the willingness to take action in the presence of fear. Courage is the willingness to take action in the presence of fear, to be courageous, right? To saddle up even when you're afraid. You get on your horse, right? John Wayne used to say that, right? Posse up. I'm afraid. Get on your horse anyway. Courage is you're afraid, but you're going to take action anyway. See, Joshua is afraid, but God is counseling Joshua, encouraging Joshua to fight against his fears and to trust God, to fight against your fear, which is very real, and I need you to trust me. He's telling Joshua, in the midst of your fears, I need you to be strong and I need you to be courageous. Why? Because God is with him. Because God is with him. Because God is with him. Here's note number 5. God's presence gives us courage and strength to move forward. God's presence gives us courage and strength to move forward. The secret of Moses' success was God's presence with him. The secret, by the way, of Joshua's success will be God's presence with him. And here it is. The secret of our success in 2024 is God's presence with us. Whatever is going to happen this year, you're going to be successful in this because God is with you. So now let me race from Moses to Jesus. In Matthew 28, Jesus, as he's speaking to his disciples, he says this, Therefore go and make disciples. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. So here's Jesus. Now here's the one, the prophesied one, who was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, who did the walks on water on the Sea of Galilee, who goes to Jerusalem 3 years into his ministry, dies on a cross, comes up out of the grave. This is the one. Here he is. He says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." How often is God with you, people?
Always.
Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? How often is God with you? Always. Always. Jesus says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." People, the secret of your life as a child of God is the presence of God in your life. This is what makes people move. Do I hear an amen?
Yes.
This is true, isn't it?
Yes.
So God is telling Joshua, "Joshua, I know you're afraid, but I need you to get going." So you want to, here is the most defining moment in Joshua's life, and I want to read it for you. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, he's afraid. And God's speaking to him, "I need you to move. I need you to be who I need you to be." Listen to this. Joshua chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. "Have I not commanded you?" I command you, by the way, I don't suggest. God's speaking. "I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So Joshua, here's verse 10. Ready? So Joshua wimped out, ran underneath his bed, and began sucking his thumb in a fetal position. No. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go into the land and take possession of the land the Lord God gives for your own." That's beautiful. In that moment, in verse 10, Joshua faced his fears and he crossed. At that moment, he faced his fears and his doubts. He believed God, he acted in faith, and he moved. And that's called courage, right? And people, the rest is history. God's people was led by Joshua into the promised land. God's purposes was achieved. God's will was done for his people, right? And which was so important at this time in God's redemptive history, because Joshua, it means God saves. It's the Hebrew. Do you know what the Greek word of Joshua is? Jesus. Jesus. This land is the land through which the Messiah would come. And this is the land through which the Messiah would die on a cross for the sins of the people of Israel and all the nations of the earth. It was God's plan for God's people to be at a certain piece of property. And it was God's plan for his son to come to earth in this certain piece of property, in this certain ethnic group of people called the Jews, right? And if you take a moment and just look at the banners on the wall, because in Genesis, we have God speaking to Abraham, saying, Abraham, through your seed, one's going to come and bless all the peoples. That's in the book of Genesis. And then you read the book of Revelation at the other end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, and the angels are singing of the one that hung on a cross. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation, from the Jews to all the nations of the earth. This is the Messiah. But it had to happen in their land. Joshua is the one that God used to give the people their inheritance. It's God's plan. Joshua is courageous. Hey, here's a note. It's a true note. Write this one down. Tell me if I'm wrong. Is courage contagious? When people act in courage, does that become contagious? Can you remember the last time you were afraid, but you acted in courage, and you just went for it anyway? Has anyone ever tried to teach their kids how to swim? So for Christmas, Cindy gave me the beautiful a card for Christmas, and it was just kind of a reflection, and she gave me a picture of my oldest son, Jonathan, who was 4, Jordan was 2, and Jeremiah is a newborn, and he's sitting in his crib just and it's right at Christmas tree, and I'm sitting there looking at that just, and I have it actually in my office at home, and I just keep looking at it because I remember those days, the days when you put the floaties on their arms, and my dad has a pool at his house, and that's where all my kids learned how to swim, and I remember telling my kids to jump, and they would come up to the edge of the pool, but they couldn't do it, you know, and then they'd come back, come on, jump, I'm right here. I'll catch you. Daddy, you promise? I promise I'll catch you. You know. And they run and then they stop. It's, come on, buddy, right? Do you remember those two people? It's funny. You know, we're like that with the Lord. God's telling Joshua, jump, dude. I know you're afraid. But I'm with you. We couldn't get our kids out of the pool. Because once they jumped, it became contagious. All of them are jumping. And I'm catching them until my arms are getting tired. You know, hey, maybe let's take a break for dad now. Dad, let's go in the pool. Let's go swim. Courage is contagious. Courage is contagious. You follow God, and people around you see it. This was a defining moment. Verse 10, Joshua says, I'm going, let's do this. I'm jumping. Welcome to 2024. Hey man, as your pastor, I've been praying about this one. It's the first Sunday of the year. Jesus, what do you want to say to these people? I think all of us can sense that we can see some storms on the horizon for this year. Don't be afraid. Just get close to Christ. This is what this year will require of you, is to be strong in the Lord. To get as close to Jesus as you can. The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking. The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking. People, what are you afraid of today? Because fear is totally a part of life. This is what I've learned. But on the other side of fear, I find growth and maturity in myself. Don't you? On the other side of fear, don't you find growth and maturity? I mean, there are things that all of us are afraid of, right? But on the other side of fear, there's always that sense of like, okay, Lord, right? People that walk in fear do not enter the promised land. Ask Joshua. Has God ever asked you to do something that you were afraid to do? Has God ever asked you to do something in a friendship, for example? Maybe you have a friend that's making some decisions that you know is leading that person to make, that's destroying themselves because of the decisions they're making, and you're their friend. Has God ever asked you to speak into a friend? Do you know what the Bible says? Better the wounds of a friend than the kiss of an enemy. Are you the kind of friend that you see a friend of yours and this friend is doing really bad stuff that is destructive to their life, and you're going, Lord, how do I talk to my friend about this? God, how do I have a discussion that maybe God's prompting you to have with that person? You know that those type of conversations, people are afraid to have those. You ever been there? Hey, maybe you're in a marriage right now and a conversation needs to be had in your marriage. And maybe you're afraid of having it. So maybe just things just keep going on and you just keep watching TV. And you're not working on your marriage. Afraid to address maybe issues in your marriage. We're going to be having a marriage retreat here at the church. And I want to mentor marriages as best as we can. People, three things happen in a marriage. You ready? People either punch out of their marriage, or they stay in a bad marriage, or you roll up your sleeves and you make it better. Three choices. Right? Which one does God want? God wants you to have a good marriage. You don't leave your marriage, but you don't stay in a rut in your marriage. It takes courage to say, we're both adults, let's make this thing better, people. That takes courage. God's asking you to do stuff. I don't want to do it. Do it anyway. Because on the other side of that fear is growth and maturity. Hey, have you ever been afraid in your parenting? People, parenting is not for cowards. Do I hear an amen from parents? There are many parents that are followers of Jesus that are afraid that they're not doing it right, or afraid that for your kids in general, and I think you should be. Does society raise our kids, or do we as parents raise our kids, right? Hey man, has Jesus ever asked you to do something that you're afraid of doing? Afraid of sharing Christ with somebody? Afraid of trusting God with your finances? It goes on and on and on and on. Fear is a part of our faith. Fear is a part of life. But what I have found over the years, as I've become a follower of Jesus, that it takes a lot of courage, people. There are many people that think that we Christians are using Jesus as a crutch. And we're just weak people. Have you ever heard that? What I've found over the years, it takes a lot of courage to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is not for the weak-minded, it's for the warriors. What I've discovered over my 30 years of following Jesus is that following Jesus requires the best that I have and then some. This is the faith that we have. It's not for weaklings, it's for warriors. You're going to follow Christ, then you're going to go against the grain. God says, follow me anyway. Do I hear an amen? I got one. Do I hear more of this? It's right, people. This is right. Doing the right thing always requires courage. And usually when Jesus is asking you to step out of your comfort zone and do something, there's going to be some kind of anxiety or fear or worry in obeying. And it takes courage to follow God. What God is going to require of all of you this year is for you to stay close to Him. For all of you to be strong in the Lord. God, it requires you to be courageous this year. Why? Because He's with you. If God is with you, do you think you can do it? Anyone? Yes. Do you think you can beat your addictions if God is with you? Anyone? Yes. Do you think you can have those tough conversations if God is with you? Yes. People, you roll up your sleeves. This is what life's about. A lot of people are saying this is going to be a bad year. It's going to be a great year. Because God is in this year. And God is in your lives. What He asks, what He requires of you is to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Draw close to Me. Hang out with Me. I'm going to get you through this year. And by the way, you're just not going to survive this year, people. You're going to thrive this year in Christ. This is what's required of us in 2024. So we're going to begin a series next week, and I'm going to talk about, there's a beautiful piece of scripture in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, begins talking about how we need to dress for success by putting on truth and righteousness, putting on peace and salvation and faith. We're going to walk through the armor of God starting next week in this series. We're going to take each piece between now as we head into Easter, and we're going to be looking at, and each week I'm going to encourage you guys, put this on. Put this one on. As you put on this, you'll be ready to take the day. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, the scripture says, that you may be able to stand firm. This is what this year is going to require of you. So Frank Castrillion, I had a friend of mine just pass away 2 days after Christmas, Frank Castrillion. Many of you in this church might know Frank Castrillion. Frank came to this church for years. He lives in Compton with his wife Ruby and his 4 kids, and they would drive from Compton every Sunday to Woodbridge Community Church. Frank was a Hispanic boy who was adopted by an African-American single mom who raised him in Compton. In terms, Frank married his wife, stayed true to his wife, had 4 kids, raised his kids in the ways of the Lord in Compton. And Frank and I would have the most beautiful conversations because he would always talk about the Word of God, Pastor Frank, the Word of God, the Word of God. You remember Frank? He was here for Christmas Eve service. He was here on Christmas morning and Christmas Eve. It was so weird to give him a hug right by that front door on December 24th, and he went to go be with the Lord on the 26th of a heart attack. When I talk about my friend Frank, man, in terms of, you know, if you ever play cards, you deal out a deck of cards. The deck of cards that Frank was dealt in his life was not, he didn't have a good hand. His mom and dad, adopted, and you know what? He was a successful man, rich in the Lord, against all odds, in my opinion. I always told him, Frank, I went to Biola, I went to Talbot. He had such a hunger for the Word of God, but he didn't have the opportunities that I was given. I went to college, I went to seminary. He would have loved to have done that. He didn't have the resources. But he studied God's Word. There were people in his life that mentored him, showed him how to be a man of God, and he was And now he's the best theologian. He's the greatest theologian right now because everything has been revealed to my friend Frank. Frank was a good man. Do you guys remember Frank? It's crazy to think. It's so weird when people are here one day and gone the next. A heart attack he had. What kind of cards have you been dealt in life? Hey, you know what? If the Lord is for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter what kind of cards you've been dealt. If God is for you, then you will be victorious. Your job is to draw near to the Lord. If I could get Frank to... Hey, I went and preached at his church in Compton many times. Really fun. Now, you know, it was awesome. We're brothers. He was a man that just got as close as he could to Jesus. And as he was close to Jesus, Jesus taught him how to be a godly man. Jesus taught him how to be a godly husband. Jesus taught him how to be a godly father. And he raised his four kids in Compton and they all love the Lord. He's a rich man, strong and courageous. People, what you need this year is to get really close to Christ. Do I hear an amen? This is what this year will require of you. Can I ask you this? As the worship team is going to come up, I'm going to ask all of you to stand. Stand in the presence of God right now. I want you to hear God speaking to you. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is calling to you this year. This is what I'm going to ask of you. Would you commit your life to the Lord this year? This first Sunday of 2024, in your heart, are you willing to cross that line and say, God, this year I commit my life to you? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to consecrate yourself to the Lord and say, God, this year is going to be my year when I'm going to stand for you, when I'm going to seek you, when I'm going to find you? When I'm going to search for you and I'm going to stand in you. If that is your heart's desire, raise your hand. Lord God Almighty, we gather here in 2024. It's the first Sunday, Lord God Almighty. Lord God, we in this room, we understand what's going on in the world. Lord, we see what's happening in Europe. We see what's happening in the Middle East. Lord, we see what's happening in our own country. Lord, we see the storm on the horizon. This is going to be an interesting year, God, for us living in America. A presidential year. Lord, there are many people that are afraid of this year. Jesus, we believe as we draw near to you that we will be more than conquerors this year. Lord, you are going to be the one that teaches us how to navigate 2024. Jesus, we pray that you would touch our eyes that we could see this year the way you see it. Lord, we come before you this year and we dedicate our lives to you. We want to tell you this morning that we trust you. We need you. Lord, maybe we're afraid, but we're going to follow you anyway. We just want you to know, God, that this day we begin to dedicate today, this year, in our decisions, our time, our talents, our treasures, to God. Guide us through this year. We're willing, Lord. We're willing. Thank you what you're going to do this year in our lives. Thank you, God, what you're going to do this year as we commit ourselves to you. You are going to change us in the year of 2024. We're going to become more godly this year. We're going to become more strong this year. We're going to become more loving this year. We're going to become more or less selfish this year. You're going to teach us this, Lord. You're going to teach us how to be more generous, more compassionate. You're going to teach us how to understand truth and to live it out. Change us, Jesus, this year. Make us who you need us to be. Help us to be the people that you need us to be. We pray this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who agree would say what?